I'm Makini Smith. After going through a divorce, my sister passing away, experiencing narcissistic abuse, and some significant health scares, I realized through sharing my story that I wasn't alone in my suffering. Suffering, subjective distress generated by the experience of being out of balance. In a deep dive to holistically heal mind, body, and soul is where I discovered peace, clarity, and connection. It is impossible to be truly wise without some real life hardship, and we cannot develop post-traumatic wisdom without making it through, and most importantly, through it together. Social connection builds resilience, and resilience helps create post-traumatic wisdom, and that wisdom leads to hope. Hope for you and others witnessing and participating in your healing, and hope for your community. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. This episode is brought to you by Herbal Face Food. So since early 2022, I have taken back my skin with this natural skincare product line. Line. I use the serum, I use the face soap, I use the cream, I use the eye cream, I use it all. It is vegan, cruelty-free, synthetic fragrance-free, paraben-free, it's organic, it's handmade, it's ethically sourced. It heals melasma, psoriasis, acne scars, it treats deep wrinkles, it has cleared up the eczema on my face. So head over to herbalfacefood.com and you can use my promo code Makini20 or Makini30 for 30% off this all plant facial product. Welcome back to the Heal Her podcast. I am your host, Makini Smith. Wow. So we have been back for 2-3 weeks now since we took our break for a few months. You know, life can throw us a ton of lemons, no matter the season. Our poor nervous systems have been taking a beating from work drama, family chaos, global misconduct, you name it. So while juggling all of this, we are bombarded with tips on being super productive, keeping fit, staying socially engaged, all while maintaining a meditation routine and ensuring that our kids get their daily dose of probiotics. So sometimes we just have to wave the white flag and shout, enough is enough. Pushing ourselves to the brink of all these demands can have serious consequences now and down the road. So for those of you that listened to our first episode back after our break for a few months, it was because I needed to water me. I needed to take some time off for self-care, for mindfulness, for doctor's appointments. I have been going to therapy every week. I've been going to chiropractic and physio twice a week. I've been going to the massage therapist once a month. I've been doing my reading. I've been doing my meditating. It's been a lot. I've been focused on my healing. So I believe in being a product of the product. And in order for me to continue to serve you at my best, I needed to be at my best. And we are always on our healing journey. You know, it never really ends. But this episode is really about calming your nervous system. My nervous system was out of whack. I already for years have struggled with autoimmune disorder, and my immune system, basically, if I get sick, I am out of commission for a very long time. And in the earlier years of recording this podcast, seeing as we are in our coming up to our almost sixth year, the first year that I was recording this podcast, I was not well. I recorded majority of these interviews from my bed with my bonnet on because I was struggling with major health concerns, from cancer scares to having to have a hysterectomy to so many things. You can go back and listen to the episodes for our 1 year and 2 year anniversary to get updated on all of that. But there are some, you know, convenient and straightforward ways to sprinkle some rest and rejuvenate and add resilience to our daily grind. You know, our nervous system needs these breaks. It's like staying hydrated, going to the washroom, you know, getting enough sleep every night. They are not luxuries. They're top priority essentials for our sanity. You know, relaxing your body and your mind is a process that requires practice, but it is achievable over time. Like anything, it requires practice. You know, even being resilient, it's a muscle that we strengthen. You know, I recently posted on social media in a reel on Instagram and I believe a TikTok about understanding even why friends of mine have trouble meditating, why they feel super anxious when they meditate, why their mind starts to roam and go all over the place. And for some people, meditating helps us, you know, to calm our nervous system, to calm down, to slow our breathing. But for some people, because they are so used to the noise and the distractions and everything that is happening outside of them, when they actually sit down and try to be still and try to embrace the peace, all of their thoughts start to race and their mind goes to a million different places, and then they start to feel overwhelmed. So for some people, meditating may just be about feeling, not necessarily feeling calm. So, you know, this episode is focused on calming the nervous system because that's what I've been over here doing. So I guess for those of you that don't even know, you're probably like, what is the nervous system anyway? So it's two major parts. We have the central nervous system, CNS, and we have our peripheral nervous system, PNS. So the central nervous system, it's the body's command center. So it includes the brain and your spinal cord. The peripheral nervous system consists of a network of nerves that connects the rest of the body to the central nervous system. So it's the nerves that connect the body to like the brain and the spinal cord. So the two systems work together to collect information from inside the body and from the environment outside of it. The systems process the collected data and then deliver instructions to the rest of the body, facilitating an appropriate response. In most cases, the brain is the final destination point for information gathered by the rest of your nervous system. So once this information arrives, the brain sorts it and files it before sending any necessary commands. So the nervous system regulates vital processes like your heartbeat, your breathing, digestion, sensation, movement, and cognitive functions. So thoughts and feelings, however, are inherently part of a chemical process regulated by the nervous system. So the nervous system produces what's called neurotransmitters that the brain uses to transmit our thoughts and create emotional responses. When the nervous system is overstressed or it isn't working as it should, the neurochemical balance in your brain gets disrupted, which can negatively affect your thinking and your emotional responses. So this two-way street where your thoughts can affect the chemical balance of your brain, while the chemical balance of your brain can affect the way that you think and feel, it can create a negative feedback loop that can basically be hard to break. I know that was a lot of information. So for example, if you are thinking about things that make you anxious, your brain releases more cortisol, which can feel or can make you feel even more nervous. And then this can lead to more anxious thoughts, creating more cortisol. So you can see the negative effects of what can happen. So working on your thoughts can be obviously, complicated, especially if your nervous system is unbalanced. So this is why many people find change so challenging. So to benefit from the life-changing process of learning to observe and direct your thoughts, your nervous system must function correctly. I feel like in today's world, everyone's nervous system is overloaded. We're constantly stressed, which our fight or flight system, our sympathetic system is chronically overactive. And then your parasympathetic system is responsible for calming and relaxing you. So it has to work in overdrive to calm you down. So like anything that's overworked, these major subsystems of your nervous system become exhausted and they can start to break down. So the functioning of your nervous system can also be impacted by sustained complex trauma over time, such as childhood physical or emotional abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, war, all of the things that seem to be, I hate to say the word common, but seem to be common in a lot of the cultures and conversations that we've been having on this show. You know, a lot of the women or the people that have come on to share their stories, they are dealing with, PTSD and complex PTSD. So it's post-traumatic stress disorder from their traumas. So their nervous system is out of whack and they've had to learn to regulate it. You know, a dysregulated nervous system results in dysregulated emotions. So you may be overly revved up and overactive with less ability to calm yourself, or the opposite. You may be underreactive and display less emotional responses to situations that would warrant more of a response. So prior to taking my few months off of the podcast and working and coaching, I felt dysregulated. I felt like something was off. I'm already a hypersensitive person because I have HSP, which is a highly sensitive person. If you Google highly sensitive person test, you can take it. There's about 27 questions and I'm like a 25 or 26 out of 27, which, results in, it can be uncomfortable because you're hypersensitive to everything. There are some gifts that come with being an HSP with, you know, our empathy levels are high, our creativity levels are high, our sensory intelligence is super high. We have, you know, a depth of processing and a depth of emotion, but it can be overwhelming because I feel like our nervous system is hyperactive. And sometimes I wonder if HSP is connected to our trauma response, you know, having to constantly be vigilant or our senses being hypervigilant. But anyway, for those of you that are listening, wondering, well, how do I even know if something is wrong with my nervous system? There are some symptoms, and obviously this list isn't, I am not a doctor, so I'm giving you this list, but I would definitely consult with your doctor or your therapist, which I did in my situation. But there are physical symptoms that include increased weight gain, body aches and pains, rapid heartbeat, constipation, diarrhea, because obviously our digestive system is connected to, how we feel. Nausea, dizziness, low libido, weak immune system. There are behavioral symptoms, which include eating more or less. So any major changes in your appetite. Sleeping too much or too little, neglecting your responsibilities, relying on alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs to relax, nail biting or any other nervous, anxious habits, and isolating yourself from others. There are some cognitive symptoms, which include memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, increased negativity, anxious or racing thoughts. And then emotional symptoms could include moodiness, irritability, short temper, agitation, inability to relax, feeling overwhelmed, a sense of loneliness and isolation, depression, or general unhappiness. So, like I said, I am not a doctor. I am a certified mindset coach who is obsessed with neuroscience and understanding how the mind works and healing our traumas, but I am not a doctor. I seek expert counsel in all areas of my life, and I advise you to do the same as well. But medication and the medical system hasn't necessarily been the best for me and my family. So while medication may be an essential treatment option for some of these issues, there may also be many natural ways that you can calm and heal your nervous system on your own. I have done a mix of all because I believe in holistic healing. So as I stated at the beginning of the episode, therapy, massage, chiropractor, all these things to help move the negative energy in my body, all the things to help me process and to get rid of the negative energy, thoughts, feelings, etc. I am completely open to, because I have a holistic healing approach. Doesn't necessarily mean that it works for everyone. So why should you calm your nervous system? We need to calm our nervous system for stress reduction, for our emotional well-being, for our physical health, for resilience. In terms of stress reduction, chronic stress activates the sympathetic nervous system. That's your fight or flight response. It leads to increased heart rate, elevated blood pressure, tension. Calming the nervous system helps counteract these effects. In terms of your emotional well-being, a balanced nervous system contributes to stable moods, better emotional regulation, and reduced anxiety. In terms of your physical health, a calm nervous system supports overall health, including immune function, digestion, your sleep quality. And in terms of your resilience, regularly giving our nervous system breaks allows it to recalibrate, which promotes resilience and adaptability. And interesting enough, I was saying in my story the other day how, when I was younger and I used to hear stories about the elderly or older people, or even see them, it was, a lot about their pain. And I was like, why are these old people in so much pain? I don't understand, like, what's causing the pain. And now that I'm getting older, I am a grandma. I am turning 44 this year. I understand the pain. I understand it now. It's the inflammation in our bodies. It's the stress hormones. It's the suppression of the trauma. It's all these unhealed things within our body that are causing all kinds of pain. I have heard stories from when I was a little girl of people dying from stress, literally dying from stress, and not understanding, like, how does stress kill someone? I have had acquaintances that are, or that seemed healthy on the outside, recently passed from heart attacks and, liver failure and all these internal things. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we need to focus on our healing. We are so caught up with the stresses of today that we are not focusing on our healing. And I wanted to do this episode on calming the nervous system because mine was so out of whack. I felt so disconnected. I felt hypersensitive to everything that it was affecting my well-being. It was affecting my relationships around me because I was hairline triggers. And I think a lot of us are struggling right now, because everyone that I speak to, whether they are a coach, whether they are a leader, whether they are in ministry, doesn't matter what area of leadership or thought leadership or guru or what are you, like, it doesn't matter what title the person has. Everyone is struggling with something right now. So I'm going to give you some ways to calm your nervous system. So One way to calm your nervous system is to focus on the calmest part of your body. Instead of sitting directly with uncomfortable feelings, sensations, and tensions, we can focus on wherever in our body we feel a sense of calm. We can find a sense of calm. Doing that lets us familiarize ourselves with relaxation and to sit with it until it deepens. So, for example, I don't know, your legs may be twitching, but, you know, maybe you feel stillness at the back of your neck. Draw your attention to that part of your body. Another way to calm the nervous system is to set boundaries and manage your energy wisely. I am big on that, and it comes across offensive to some people, but because I know that I'm hypersensitive, because I know that I may not have the capacity to handle some people's heavy energy, I have very heavy boundaries. I have, for the last 4 or 5 years, as I've been on this deep healing journey, had my phone on Do Not Disturb. The only calls that come through are my children and my partner and my doctor. I say no more to a lot of things because I need to protect my energy. So setting boundaries and managing your energy wisely is extremely important. Even if, you know, if you're dealing with anxiety, then you're burning more energy than you usually would. And when your energy is low, it's more challenging to regulate your feelings. So it's essential to manage your energy extremely wisely, and don't be afraid to set boundaries and say no to things that don't, like, that you don't feel are in your best interest. You know, you can love someone and, you know, they're having an emergency right now. Their emergency is not your emergency. It doesn't mean that you don't love them if you are not making yourself available to be emotionally dumped on. I think we've been conditioned as a society, especially as a community in the Black community, it's like people get upset if you are not available to them. People get upset if you don't have the capacity to handle their negative emotions or heavy feelings. And considering that the entire world, we are, you know, dealing with so many mental health crises right now, and mental health challenges, we have to give each other some grace. We need to be mindful that not everyone may have the ability or the capacity to handle our individual heaviness. And yes, we heal in community. Yes, we need each other. We're wired for connection. But be respectful. If you are the one doing the emotional dumping or you are the one with the heavy energy, be respectful of other people's time and energy and capacity. Ask first. You know, if I need an emotional moment with someone, I will let them know through text before I call and emotionally dump on them. Are you available for a moment? I'm struggling with some feelings here. So that person can give you the time that you need if they have the capacity. It's challenging to have grace and be compassionate and empathetic if we don't have the capacity. So if we are emotionally dumping on someone that does not, we can't be upset with them for them not giving us the response and support that we are hoping to get from them. Another way to calm your nervous system is to self-soothe through affirmations. And I never used to really believe in affirmations until I saw the benefits that it was doing in my life. And when I got into personal development and connected with Bob Proctor and started to learn about actively practicing gratitude and actively practicing affirmations, and for my church folks, that's your declarations, speaking positivity into your life, speaking positively of yourself and your situations, because our thoughts and our feelings affect our actions, which in turn affects our results. And a lot of us are walking around with these negative thoughts and negative feelings and wondering why we're not producing or manifesting the things that we want in our life. The energy that we bring to an environment is oftentimes the energy that gets reciprocated. And that includes the energy that we bring to ourselves. So, you know, affirmations are really only valid if we have like a helpful impact on our state of being. So repeating positive phrases that you don't honestly believe in, it can have the opposite effect for some people. And the I am positive statements, for some, if it feels too far-fetched, you can say, I am on my way to becoming. Or, you know, you can choose an affirmation that feels true to you, such as, you know, I am strong enough to survive this panic. And if you don't feel or believe in that moment that you are strong enough, I am on my way to becoming strong enough to survive this panic. Try experimenting with how you talk to yourself. You know, the tone of voice, the pace, the care behind the words, instead of just the words that you are saying. Our feelings are labels for the vibration that we are on, the frequency that we are on, that we receive. So if we are sad, we're on a low vibration. If we're happy, we're on a high vibration. And how we talk to ourselves, the energy, the feeling, the care behind the words, has a lot to do with the outcome. Just think about that for a second. So a slow, calm, and reassuring internal voice can be a great tool to calm your body. Another tool for calming your nervous system is to journal from a perspective of your stress. You know, sometimes your anxious thoughts need to be respected and expressed coherently by getting them out of your head and down on paper. Not everyone has the luxury of being able to afford therapy, and I'm grateful that I get to go every week. But journaling has been shown to be extremely beneficial. It is releasing the emotions, because when we suppress the emotions, we become depressed. When we express the emotions, it's releasing the negative feelings and thoughts that we are having. So writing from the perspective of stress, exploring, you know, what's fueling it, what it wants us to know, also helps us to take a step back from what it is that we're worrying about and to look at it from a different perspective. Because when we internalize, or we're thinking that, you know, when we're tunnel vision with the anxious thoughts, it can obviously cause more harm. But when we're able to write it down and take a step back and look at it, we may be able to look at it from an outside perspective so that we can come to a solution. Another tool is to journal from the perspective of your calm. You know, when you've written down your stressful thoughts, you can dialogue and reason them out from the perspective of a calmer and wiser voice. You can also try what's called, it's a Toist Inner Smile meditation. This meditation is one where you feel a smiling energy in your body. Most people find, you know, it's easiest to do by visualizing a smile or bringing a slight smile to your face. The effect of the inner smile meditation is cumulative, and it can effectively signal to your brain that you're not under any threat. You know, the signals that we send to our brain, the chemical reactions that happen based on our words, our thoughts, our feelings, affect our body. You know, if I say something, if I say a sentence and my body knows it's to be true, and I say a positive sentence, it sets off a chemical reaction within my brain and my body. If I say something negative, or I say something that is untrue, it sets off a different chemical reaction within my brain and my body. So just being mindful of that. Another tool is to journal, but finishing this sentence. My nervous system wants to. So this journal exercise helps you connect with your thoughts, or so it helps you connect your thoughts to your feelings so that you can take a step back from them. So you may discover that your nervous system just wants you to take a break and rest, or go outside and get some fresh air. Another tool is to create compassionate imagery. like the inner smile meditation, compassionate inner imagery is a way to tell your brain that you're safe and it's okay. So you might want to visualize a person or a place, it could be real or fake, that helps you to feel calm, secure, and connected. An exercise that I've done with my loved ones over the years is to get them to visualize, you know, where they would love to go on a vacation, you know, to close their eyes and visualize. Visualize what that looks like and talk it out, and then visualize what that would feel like to experience that. That can actually create a shift and help us to calm down and to feel secure and connected with our feelings. Another tool is increased bodily awareness. So anxiety can feel like it comes out of nowhere, but that's rarely the case. So by increasing our bodily awareness through meditation, yoga, or regularly checking in on how we are feeling, you can catch the early signs of tension in your body before they get too difficult to manage. So I know for myself, years ago, 2006, when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, they said that side effects of that were depression, anxiety. And as I've gone through my healing journey and learned to understand my body and to pay attention to my body and bring awareness to how I am feeling and checking in with how I am feeling, it's actually the depression and anxiety that caused the fibromyalgia, which is chronic pain. It's my body reacting. So now I know if I am feeling my back tightening up or my muscles feeling some tension, to pay attention to that so that I don't ever have to get to that place where I'm having a flare up because my entire body has shut down from the tension. Another tool is to slow down to 6 breaths a minute. So studies have shown that taking 6 breaths a minute provides the most benefits in terms of relaxation. You know, most people breathe a lot faster than that. So any attempt to reduce the rate at which we breathe, focusing on extending the exhale is a helpful practice. So sometimes I will, to calm myself, if I'm not able to be in a quiet place to meditate, I, in my head, will do the count. And as I'm breathing in, inhale for 5, exhale for 6. Inhale for 6, exhale for 7. And then I increase it until my breathing slows down, which calms my nervous system. Another tool is to play around with your body language. You know, how we position our bodies and physically move through the world dramatically impacts our emotional state. So bring more awareness to how you're holding your body throughout the day. You know, how you sit, how you stand, how you communicate. It can help you actually address habits of tension. When my daughter wasn't well, she had a habit of slouching over. She almost looked like, I don't know, the Hunchback from Notre Dame, just like how she would walk and move around the house. And working on her posture helped her feel better. It's like when she's slumped over, you know, it's her mind, her feelings are all like, this is the end of the world. It's defeat. It's a position of defeat. Another tool to calm the nervous system is dancing. You know, dancing is a great way to reduce stress, increase your bodily awareness. If you don't like the idea of a formal practice, this might be, you know, for you. You know, the good thing is you don't need to get any special training or even leave your house. You can turn music on your TV, on your phone, and just move. Get the body moving. Healthy motion equals healthy emotion. Another tool is to visualize a calm future self. So, you know, our minds are largely predictive machines. So when we can expect to be anxious, that's what will happen. We can begin to disrupt the cycle by visualizing a future state of calm, which sets up a more helpful expectation. Another calming tool would be, you know, imagine your mind in slow motion. So this is just another trick to break up, you know, our unhelpful patterns. But an anxious mind is going to race. So a mind that is intentionally moving slowly will start to move us out of the state of anxiety. Another calming tool is laughter, even if it's forced. So laughter's an excellent way to take your body out of a state of stress. In fact, the reason we laugh might be an evolutionary signal that everything is okay and that a perceived threat has been averted. It doesn't matter if it feels forced, your brain will still get the message, and you might even find that you like laugh for real anyway. Laughter, they say it's like food for the soul. Another calming tool is to hum. You know, some people don't like to chant or sing, but humming does pretty much the same thing. You know, the odd time that I'm listening to music in the car, I am humming my life away. And they say that I don't remember the scientific stats about it, but something to do with the frequency. So it lifts your vibration. And one last tool is to visualize healthy and rewarding social situations. You know, a lot of bodily tension comes from an unconscious perceived threat in the world, particularly the social world. So by visualizing healthy relationships and positive social situations, real or imagined, we're convincing the social part of our brain that we are connected and safe. Like I said earlier, we're wired for connection. So there isn't, you know, a one-size-fits-all approach to managing our nervous system, but the key is to find what works best for you. You'll discover the most effective way to soothe your highly sensitive nervous system by allowing yourself to explore and test different methods. So quickly, a few ways to calm your nervous system is to focus on the calmest parts of your body, set boundaries, and manage your energy wisely. Self-soothe through affirmations, journal from the perspective of your stress, journal from the perspective of your calm, trying the Taoist, I can't even pronounce it properly, but the Taoist inner smile meditation, journaling and finishing the sentence, my nervous system wants to, using or creating compassionate imagery, increasing your bodily awareness, slowing down to 6 breaths a minute, playing around with your body language, establishing a mindful movement practice, dancing, visualizing a calm future self, imagining in slow motion, laughing, humming, and visualizing healthy and rewarding social situations. I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. You could be anywhere in the world, but you choose to be here listening to me. And I do not take that lightly. I want to thank each and every one of you that continues to listen each week to help the show rank globally in the top 1.5% of most popular podcasts out there. It's out of the 3 million shows. You know, to all you healers out there, until next time, subscribe on all platforms. Don't forget to rate the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcast. And if you could think of 2 people that would receive value from today's show, please share it with them. Feel free to screenshot this week's episode. You can tag me at The Real McKinney Smith on Instagram. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. So let's continue.